intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune into Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer.
Beam me up, Scotty. Captain Janeway is going to kill me. She's got me lost in the Delta Quadrant, Fred. This actress, Kate Mulgrew from Star Trek, narrated this geocentrism film called The Principal.
The Principal that opened in a theater in Chicago last Friday night.
That's right. And we started to lay out the scientific evidence against the claim of the film. And there's a lot of famous scientists in here. Lawrence Krauss, George Ellis, Miki Okaku, Max Tegmark, and our favorite, John Hartnett.
Creation.com of CMI.
Yep.
And you actually got to preview the film. We talked about that last week with a group of scientists. I wasn't able to be there, but it was a misleading deal where you thought it was going to be about evidence against the Big Bang.
Yeah, and it turned out to be geocentrism. And these scientists, each one, they've complained already publicly that not only were they misled, but, you know, that's not really bad for journalism. If you're interviewing an expert and you catch them with their guard down at a very candid moment and they're saying what they really believe, which is contrary to what they normally say in public, that's good journalism.
Yes.
So the interviews were really excellent. They were talking about the evidence that we look at through our telescopes are not really matching what the Big Bang predicted. That's what they were talking about.
Yeah.
But what the producer makes the audience think is that they're talking about the evidence supports that the sun goes around the earth.
Yeah. So it's complete non sequitur, but it's misleading.
Yeah, very misleading. So we were looking at the scientific evidence and at the Bible, both the scientific evidence that the earth is moving. And one of the ones we mentioned was earthquakes caused the earth to change its speed on its axis.
Yeah, that's a really interesting one. And that's all about the conservation of angular momentum.
Right.
And you've used this analogy when talking about the creation of galaxies, is the ice skater spinning around. As she brings her arms in, she spins faster. It's a conservation of angular momentum.
Right.
And so earthquakes, they cause the earth to just to compress just a little bit, right?
Yes.
And because of that effect, it's going to spin
a little bit
just
more quickly.
A little bit faster.
And it will also wobble on its axis.
Yes.
Which is something the Bible does talk about, the earth wobbling, teetering like a drunkard in Isaiah 24.
Mm-hmm.
And so it turns out that we can measure these things, like Japan's horrific earthquake in 2011 with all the radioactive water that was released from their power plant. After that earthquake, our wobble in space increased. It was measurable, right?
Yeah, by nearly 7 inches.
7 inches. And our day decreased by about 2 millionths of a second.
Well, that's depressing.
Yeah.
I mean, I already have a hard enough time finding time during the day.
Yeah, right?
We're all busy.
That's
bad news for our listening audience because everybody's busy. Are you telling me we lost 2 millionths of a second that day?
And so, Fred, we'll get it back somewhere.
Yeah.
These are well within the tolerances of our instruments that make these measurements.
Yeah. So this isn't a measurement error.
No, if it was, there are too many times when the errors match the prediction.
Yeah.
And match the earthquakes. And the U.S. Naval Observatory, if people go to our website, they can get a lot more information on this, including about leap seconds, which is such a fascinating topic. We discussed that with physicist John Hartnett recently, and he has invented the world's most precise clock. That the world's atomic clocks, those facilities use John Hartnett's clock to calibrate their atomic clocks.
Wow, really?
That's how good his clock is. The guy's just brilliant. Well, at any rate, the understanding what leap seconds are and how many leap seconds have been added just in the last four decades or so.
So you're right. Like we got that time back, 25 seconds.
Yeah, right. And the measurement of the wobbles and the fact that we track the wobble. And when there are large earthquakes, we could predict how the earth is going to wobble differently on its axis. And it does. Mm-hmm. And if God created the universe to rotate around the earth, you wouldn't think God would make the universe wobble.
Because that would have to be what's creating the effect, right? If you're a geocentrist.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And so then when we have an earthquake, it's going to make the universe wobble differently. And it's all, yeah, it just doesn't work. So then, Fred, you and I mentioned, and I think we only have to touch on this briefly, but that also the Earth's core rotates faster than does the crust.
Yeah, the crust, it's liquid, right? Magma.
Yes, the outer core is liquid. And so because it's liquid, there's lubrication there so that the outer core of the Earth could rotate at a different rate
than
does
core.
The rest of the Earth, the mantle.
Wow.
And it does. And that's
they measure that
also.
Yep.
And so, Fred, we have talked about on our programs on the global flood. We have our video, The Global Flood and the Hydroplate Theory. People could find out the most amazing aspects about the structure of the Earth and what's going on. The 46,000-mile-long scar of the mid-oceanic ridge that goes right around the Earth like a seam on a baseball.
Yeah, the video is really cool. People got to get it. The Hydroplate video.
Oh.
It's fantastic. And I'm hearing really good things from a lot of people. I'm not just saying that.
Oh, thank you, Fred. Including scientists.
Absolutely.
Including some scientists who've said otherwise, but who have complimented Real Science Radio on this video. It presents a lot of science and a lot of scripture about the global flood.
In a real fun way, too, that's easy to understand. Oh, highly encourage you getting that one.
So, Fred, in the Atlantic, there's missing crust of the Earth in the Atlantic, whereas in the Pacific, you have so much of the crust has subsided and sunk, and it's down beneath the floor of the Pacific. Like, how did all that happen?
Getting back to the hydroplate theory, Dr. Brown predicted this before they found it. So it's like he's doing all this work for these scientists that are discovering this stuff years after he said, this is what I expect to see based on the hydroplate theory.
And it's what we're seeing. And so at any rate, we understand why the Earth's core is rotating at a different speed than is the mantle and crust. And it's causing earthquakes.
Yes.
So because it's causing earthquakes, this deep instability in the Earth, therefore, it couldn't have been part of the original creation by God in the 6 days of creation because the earth was perfect and there would not have been earthquakes.
No.
So something cataclysmic happened that caused the melting in the inner earth and that magma, it destabilizes the rock above it and it gives us earthquakes.
Yeah.
But Fred, the history of astronomy is interesting too, because this idea of geocentrism, that the sun and the planets go around the earth, that started with Plato.
Now, That's right.
I know everybody likes to put that on other people, but the biggest name in philosophy that promoted geocentrism is Plato. And that was way before Ptolemy. So I think we got to nail Plato with this.
We do.
There were others before him, but he's the first big name. So Plato gives us classical geocentrism, which claims that the sun and the planets and the stars orbited the earth.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then Ptolemy comes around, and he was more an astronomer, few hundred years later, about 500 years later or so. And so he's just AD after Christ. And he realized there were real problems with that.
Yeah.
So he came up with a rescue device.
You're referring to epicycles.
Right. Exactly.
You know, I was talking to a friend today at work about this guy. Apparently, he was a mathematical genius.
Yeah.
So totally. He was able to use math to help him promote this idea of epicycles.
Yeah.
But in the
Which
wrong way.
Which was completely wrong.
Yes.
So they thought, well, if the planets are going around the Earth, why aren't they moving the way we think they should?
Mm-hmm.
So they said, well, right here where the planet, let's say it's Mars, appears to start moving backwards, that's because it's going around the Earth in a circle, but then it takes a little circle and it makes these little loops on its bigger orbit around the Earth. And they keep doing these little epicycles.
Yeah.
And at first they had a few, and eventually they had dozens of epicycles to try to explain all the movements of the planets.
Yeah.
Which none of it was real. It was just false.
Yeah, when you're starting to have to come up with, you know, really just those stories like this, epicycles, come on, yeah. You know, and where's the evidence for that? You've got to start questioning your theory. When you got seven moons shooting by the Earth, you got to start questioning your theory.
Yeah, like with, in our video, the global flood and the hydroplate theory.
Or was it six moons?
Exposing the claim of plate tectonics, catastrophic plate tectonics. Fred, the plate tectonics model, in fact, started out with a few plates. You know, and they keep adding plates, and I forget how many dozens plates they're up to now.
Yeah.
It's just like the epicycles.
Yeah, the dishwasher's full.
The theory's not true, and so you just keep tweaking it to try to justify retaining it. Well, about 1,500 years or so after Ptolemy was the time of Tycho Brahe.
Yeah, a lot of people haven't heard of him, but he played into this.
Yeah, he did, because he realized that even, you know, epicycles are falling apart. It's just not working. The whole theory is not working. But Brahe insisted on geocentrism, so he made a major adjustment to the theory. And today, like this movie, The Principal, they still follow Brahe.
Okay, and this is the idea that the planets rotate around the sun, but not the Earth.
Right.
So you're saying that most geocentrists, they're buying into that one.
Today, they hold. So this view has been around now for over 400 years. That the sun goes around the Earth, but the planets go around the sun.
Hmm.
So that is this major adjustment. So if God is going to make the entire universe, including the Milky Way galaxy, go around the Earth, why not make the planets go around the Earth too?
Yeah.
But the evidence is too contradictory. So the concession that they made, and this is a dramatic modification of Plato and Ptolemy's geocentrism, they say, okay, Mercury does go around the sun, doesn't go around the Earth. And Mars does go around the sun, doesn't go around the Earth, but the sun goes around the Earth.
Yeah.
So therefore, they sort of go around the Earth, too.
Exactly. They're going around the sun while the sun's going around the Earth. So,
right, exactly. So that's the way it stood until Albert Einstein actually helped the geocentrist in a way, because of his emphasis on relativity and frames of reference, and that there's no absolute frame of reference. So they use that to say, I think in a way that's not valid, they use it to say, well, see, since not one frame of reference is any more valid than any other, we could make the frame of reference the Earth, and all the movement in the universe is all in relationship to a stationary Earth. Now, if that's true, then you could also have a Jupiter-centric solar system and a Jupiter-centric universe. Everything's going around Jupiter. If they're using that in a valid way, it doesn't justify their view.
No.
They're not arriving at an accurate conclusion. There's another problem, though, that Tycho Brahe didn't realize. It turns out, you know how in NASCAR, the green flag starts the race, and each driver is always heading for a point that's constantly moving, and it lies always just ahead of them.
Yeah.
That's where he's trying to get to next.
Kind of like the greyhound with the rabbit in front of it.
Yeah, right. Well, the sun is orbiting the galaxy, and of course, geocentrists say it appears to orbit the galaxy. But it's not only having that movement. The sun also has another movement. It's moving toward a point just ahead of it called the solar apex. And this is really interesting. The sun is moving with respect to the stars nearby us. And it's sort of moving in its own little direction. It's moving about 16 kilometers per second within the immediate stellar neighborhood. They have something called the LSR, the local standard of rest. And so our sun is moving in the direction of Vega. That's a star near the constellation Hercules. And so to account now for this newer discovery, they have to make, first they had their first assumption, then a secondary assumption, then a tertiary assumption. Now a quaternary assumption that somehow the whole galaxy is sort of wandering around the sun at this particular speed. And it just keeps getting really complicated. it's violating Occam's razor in a big way. Everything gets convoluted.
Yes.
Well, before we get off the history of this, Fred, the study of this, I think we should go back now to the book of Genesis, because God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens, and let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years.
For days and years. Okay.
So the way God created the earth and the sun and the moon, it was our calendar.
Yeah.
The movement of the earth and the moon and the sun, it was all our calendar. And God said it was all very good.
Yeah. It would be a perfect calendar.
Perfect. And that's,
there would be no leap years and leap seconds.
Oh, man. So originally the earth had 360 days. We think we provide overwhelming evidence to that effect at 360dayyear.com. Today, here's how long the year is. It's not 360 days. Do you have the figure there, Fred?
Yeah. I mean, I've always heard 365 generally, you know, except in the leap year, right?
Right.
It's 366. But so right now there are approximately 365.24218 days in a year.
Yeah, that's not a very good.
Not perfect.
It's very complicated.
It's extremely complicated.
And in fact, astronomer Danny Faulkner, who disagrees,
it makes my software work a lot harder.
Yeah,
having
right.
to deal with leap years and leap seconds.
It's true.
Whenever you have precision timing, you got to do and clocks.
I've had a program the same thing. Byte Magazine on their cover mentioned a software product I released years ago, back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Well, the company system
I worked at, in fact, I coined it the Valentine's Day Massacre Bug, because it had to do with leap year in February, that this clock on this machine would be totally
whacked
out.
So I had to deal with the same difficulties. Well, Danny Faulkner, astronomer at the Creation Museum that we love, and we love Danny, he disagrees with all this, and he argued with me, and we went back and forth in the Creation Research Journal.
Yeah.
He and I published papers back and forth, and he said, Bob, the calendar is very good. It is very good, like God said in Genesis. And I'm like, no, it isn't. It's totally confusing. And so in his own paper, he said to understand the calendar, he put a list of the terms you need to understand. And Fred, here it is. You need to understand the sidereal year, the tropical year, the ecliptic, the celestial equator, the animalistic year, the sidereal month, the synodic month, the nodal month, the beginning of a month on the Hebrew calendar, the lunar calendar, the Islamic calendar, the beginning of the year on ancient calendars, the intercalary month, the metonic cycle.
Intercalary month?
Intercalary month.
Is that a diet
that's
thing?
That's when they added entire months.
What about the animalistic calendar? Or did you say anomaly?
Not animal, anomaly. Then anomalistic year. And Fred, these are all real difficulties that mankind has had trying to get a grip on the calendar. The Babylonian calendar, the Jewish calendar, the Roman calendar, leap days.
What messed everything up?
It goes on and on and on. And
if we had 360 days originally in a perfect creation, something changed.
What messed everything up is the global flood and the melting of the outer core, seven moons worth of now liquid magma.
Seven moons worth.
So the radius
of the Earth. That's where those moons are that fly by the Earth and cause and save plate tectonics.
You keep getting on John Baumgartner's case.
I wonder where those moons came from.
Half the audience has no idea what you're talking about. It was one moon that orbited six times.
Six times, okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
But anyway, and that's all in our video. It's really, really fun. But so, Fred, the calendar is so confusing. In Genesis, God says he made the lights in the heavens, and he said the sun and the moon, for signs and seasons, for days and years, and now we could no longer use them to understand a very good calendar because it's so convoluted.
So it doesn't say in there for days and years and for leap seconds and leap years.
Right, exactly. So anyway, you know, you and I, we've already talked about the Earth's spin, the rotation affecting hurricanes, right?
Yeah.
I thought maybe we should just explain that a little more.
Well, there's something called the Coriolis effect.
Yes.
From the rotation of the Earth caused by the air moving towards a low pressure zone to turn perpendicular to its velocity in such a way that hurricanes in the northern hemisphere rotate counterclockwise. So like Katrina was counterclockwise.
Yes. We can picture that. I can picture
Katrina. Yeah, you can see it. You can. Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, we got a picture of it on the website.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then in the southern hemisphere, they go clockwise. Ooh. And those are called Cylons. Oh, no, that's Battlestar Galactica. Cyclones.
Cyclones in the southern hemisphere. And so hurricanes rotate in the opposite directions because the Earth is rotating on its axis.
Yes.
And so this is a...
It's a proven phenomenon.
This is a known phenomenon of the physical laws.
Yeah.
So time and time again, like geostationary satellites, the geocentrist has to make wild secondary, tertiary theory rescue devices to explain why satellites stay up in space and they don't fall to the Earth.
To Earth if the Earth is stationary.
Right. So a geostationary...
So that guy has to be stationary.
Yeah. So a geostationary satellite 22,000 miles above the Earth has to be moving at the same speed that spot on the Earth below it is moving.
That's right. But if the Earth is standing still and is completely motionless, it's not moving at all,
then
there must be Are there propellers on that
satellite?
Propulsion.
Booster rockets
that are keeping the gravity. No. But maybe they don't believe in gravity.
No. Well, it's wildly convoluted.
Yeah.
But Fred, something else. This is complicated. As though other things we've talked about are not. But the aberration of starlight. This is astounding, actually. You know, let's compare it to raindrops. What happens when you're in your car on the highway and it's raining?
Well, the rain looks like it's pounding towards you. As you're driving, you know, down the road, the rain's coming straight down.
Right.
But it looks like it's just pounding towards you.
So even if there's no wind and the drops are really falling perpendicular to the Earth, straight down, it looks like they're coming at you.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out if the Earth is stationary, then starlight will look a certain way, like it's coming straight at us.
Yeah.
But if the Earth is moving, and remember how fast, I think we said 67,000 miles per hour around the sun, plus rotating on its axis.
Yeah.
But if the
plus
Earth
wobbling
is,
a little bit.
Plus wobbling. But if the Earth is moving, the starlight is going to have an aberration.
It is. An effect.
Yes.
I don't want to say illusional effect, but, you know, an effect.
A measurable, predictable effect.
Yes.
And that effect, that aberration, will be different depending on how fast the Earth is moving.
Right.
Well, because of the laws, Kepler's laws of planetary motion, the Earth moves in an ellipse, and at its perihelion, when it's closest to the sun, it's moving more rapidly than at its aphelion. And so the Earth doesn't move at the same speed. And it turns out that we could measure the aberration of starlight and calibrate it, I mean, to within 20 arc seconds, and we calibrate it to the speed of the Earth around the sun. It's all stunning.
Wow, it is stunning, and it's another powerful argument against geocentrism.
Yeah, just so fun and so great. So, Fred, to go back to the Bible, the geocentrists, when they look at the verses where God says, the earth shall not be moved, and neither shall I, neither shall the king, neither shall God's people, there's a difference between an abstraction and a narrative. A narrative is when you actually have the plot of the story there. And so in Genesis, like we mentioned, Genesis is the lengthiest account of God's creation. And it doesn't make any indication that the sun goes around the earth.
Not a single one.
Or that the earth is motionless.
Not a single one.
Well, the verses where they get this from are abstractions. They're not part of the creation narrative. The creation narrative is where you get more actual particulars about how God created the earth. So the abstractions that come where these words are being used as metaphors, that the earth shall not be moved and neither shall the king, it's not valid to take these abstractions and use them as though they had the literal force of a creation narrative.
You can't take that and build a theological case for your geocentrism.
Right. Exactly. So in our article on extreme geocentrism, we get into that and we show the Bible verses.
Yeah, quite a few.
And we show the difference between a narrative and an abstraction. And this is such an important lesson to learn for all of the study of Scripture, not just for geocentrism. So, Fred, that's pretty much our entire presentation. And how do people find this article?
Oh, they find it to be quite lovely. Sorry, I couldn't resist. Go to rsr.org/geocentrism.
Yeah.
Like any topic, you can do a slash and
anything.
The word you come up with is likely going to take you to the right page.
Nautiloids.
Yeah.
Anything.
Right. Yeah.
The Big Bang.
Yep.
Young Earth. Walt Brown.
Yeah.
Slash anything.
But no, it's a great article, Bob. I know you spent years adding to this, and just, you know, whenever there's more evidence, it gets added to this article.
Yeah.
There's great against scriptural references mm-hmm. that help explain
there
the
really
whole
are.
Abstractions versus narrative and all of that.
Yeah.
Highly recommend it. It's a lot of fun, too. A lot of interesting information here, the hurricane thing,
yeah.
Earthquakes. Earthquakes are just fascinating, and how they refute geocentrism.
What I think is neat is that even when you take something that's not true, then when you dissect it, you look at it carefully, you could learn so much.
Yeah.
And it's fun to learn science by refuting an error. That's
yes.
one way you do it.
Yeah.
And it's fun to understand God's word better by refuting errors. So this film that's now out, it's called The Principle. Rick Delano, who's a friend of ours, although he's upset at us now,
yeah.
Fred. He's denying that before we had the screening at Real Science Radio last year, 1 year ago now, I asked Rick, I know you're a geocentrist. You've sent me some things about geocentrism. Is this film about geocentrism? And he said to me, Bob, the film is about the Copernican principle, the axis of evil. It's refuting the Big Bang. So I said, all right.
Yeah,
well,
I remember,
in.
Hey, this sounds great.
Well,
and I was going to go to that, and I wasn't able to.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody who went, you had to apologize to him that night.
Yeah.
Did not know that this was about geocentrism. That was a central theme of his
movie. Of the film. I was embarrassed, really, that I had invited our friends under false pretenses. And so the scientists in the movie are misrepresented. The audience is misled, and we were misled. And the fundamental claim is wrong biblically and scientifically.
Yes.
So God made the sun that the earth goes around, and even the sun is a metaphor for the light of God and God's, mm-hmm. you know, life-giving goodness. And so, hey, thank you.
Thanks,
on the
Bob.
Third planet from the sun.
Third one.
So much fun, right? All right. God bless you. And those of you in the audience, thanks for tuning in to Real Science Radio.
Get the hydroplate video. It's awesome.
Oh, you'll love our global flood video. Just go to realscienceradio.com or rsr.org. Click on the store. And if you would, consider donating once or monthly. Boy, you'll help us stay on the air. May God bless you.
About.